שבוע טוב ומבורך ברשות הראש ישיבה, ברשות הרבנים, קהל קדוש. It's a big privilege whenever I get an opportunity to come and speak in front of Bnei Torah, people that are committed to the study of Torah on a daily basis, to those that are committed to the perpetuation of Limud HaTorah. This is where I feel the most comfortable saying Derashot. Although it's not the only venue that I speak at, but I say that this is where I feel the most at home and comfortable. We read in this week's parasha the great drama when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. Ani Yosef ha'od avi chai. And the brothers are dumbfounded. Yosef says, run right home. Go tell daddy that I'm alive. Yaakov hears the news. He can't believe it. Finally he accepts it. And now they have to make the trek down to Egypt. And the Torah says that before Yaakov Abinu sets foot in Egypt, Ve'et Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef. That he sends down Yehuda to meet Yosef in Egypt. The Torah says, why does he send Yehuda? Lehorot lefanav. In order to prepare the ground in Goshen. Rashi says that they're moving to a new settlement and they need to have zoning, they need to have construction, they need to prepare the land. So Yehuda is the leader of the family, so he sends Yehuda down to go scout it out, go prepare everything, make sure the housing is proper, make sure we have the proper permits, whatever we need. So when Yaakov Abinu comes down, everything is set. That's the simple pshat that Rashi brings. Ve'et Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef lehorot lefanav Goshna. Then Rashi brings down from the Midrash Agadah. He sent down Yehuda lehatkin lo bet Talmud. In order to establish bet Talmud, which we would call in the vernacular today yeshiva. A house that they study the Talmud. Shemisham tetzeh hora'ah. From over there will come all the religious instruction. My question that I ask you tonight is, why is that essential that Yaakov Avinu sends down Yehuda to build the yeshiva? I would guess he would send Levi to build the yeshiva. Levi is the Rosh Yeshiva. When Moshe Rabbeinu blessed Levi, he says, Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish hasidecha. And then he says, Yoru mishpatecha le'Yaakov, mishpatecha le'Yisrael. The Hora'ah comes from Shevet Levi. So what are you sending Yehuda? For zoning, Yehuda, I understand. But for yeshiva, Levi is the Rosh Yeshiva, and if you're not satisfied with Levi, send somebody from Yisachar. All of you are familiar with the Yisachar Zevulun Pact. Yisachar learns, Zevulun supports, so send somebody from Yisachar to learn. Why specifically Yehuda? So I'd like to say an interpretation tonight. The reason that he sent Yehuda was as follows. Rabbeinu Ari writes that all the exiles that we've endured in our history, there was Galut Bavel, there was Galut Paras Umadai, there's Galut Yavan that we just celebrated, and then there's Galut Romi, which we are in now. Tonight is one of the great manifestations, Lehavdil bin Kodesh Lechol. Tonight is a great night for Malchut Romi. So Rabbeinu Ari says those four exiles have their root in Mitzrayim. That means Mitzrayim is the shoresh. It's the paradigm. That's the example, and that's the source, and from Mitzrayim, all the other galuyot come out. That's why we always make a big deal of Mitzrayim. Because just like we went into Mitzrayim and we came out of Mitzrayim, that's indicative that we're going to go into four galuyot and we're going to get out of them. That's the good news. Because if Mitzrayim is the example, so whatever happened in Mitzrayim will happen in the four galuyot. So good news, we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, so we can sleep tight. There's going to be redemption. I don't want to get into all the mysticism of it, but just a drop. Motzei Shabbat. He says that the four galuyot, they emanate from the four letters of Hashem's holy name, Yudke Vavke. Bavel is the Yud, and the He is Parasumadai, and the Vav is Yavan, and the final He is Romi. What he writes is that every time there's a galut, it's like one of the letters of Hashem's name gets thrown somewhere into the abyss. And now that we're in the fourth galut, the four letters of Hashem's name is just circling. And until the letters come back together again, there cannot be a redemption. So he asks, but where's Mitzrayim? If Mitzrayim is the original, there's only four letters, there's not five letters. So he says, Mitzrayim actually comes from the Kutzo Shel Yud. On top of the Yud, there's a little tail that comes off the top of the Yud. When you write Hashem's holy name, you start with the Kutz. That's how you start. That's the root. That's where Mitzrayim is. And he says, that's what it means in the Pasuk when the Jewish people were in Egypt. It says the Egyptians hated us. And the Pasuk says, Vayakutsu mipenei b'nei Yisrael. This is Vayakutsu, because that's where Mitzrayim, they're from the Kutzo Shel Yud. And he goes on to say, Vayhi Vayamim Harabim. It says we were in Egypt for many days. He says, Rabim is Rashi Tevot. Romi, Babel, Yavan, and Madai. Rabim. That when we were in Mitzrayim, we were not in Mitzrayim. We were in four exiles at once. And Yaakov Abinu knew it. Yaakov Abinu was petrified when God told him, go down to Egypt. He knew that the second he puts his foot in Egypt, he activates not one galut, he activates four galuyot. He knew that once the experience in Egypt begins, that means Am Yisrael is going to be destined to go through thousands of years of pain and suffering. So he didn't want to go. God has to come to him in a vision, go down to Mitzrayim, don't be afraid, I'll take you out one day. But Yaakov Abinu understands that every move that he makes can affect and alter Jewish history. The Ramban said it, Ma'aseh Avot Siman LeBanim. When you study the stories of the Avot, you have to analyze every nuance. Because even though they made a small move on the chessboard of life, that little move would have tremendous reaction. Tremendous consequence for Klal Yisrael. Every one of their positions that they took would move Klal Yisrael. They were moving Jewish history. And we know that the redemption is going to take place by two saviors. One is called Mashiach ben Yosef, and one is called Mashiach ben David. Now, again, this is a topic that is really beyond most of us. Even Harambam writes, it's not so clear what the whole concept of Mashiach is, and it's not necessary as part of our belief system to know all the details. He said, you'll know the details when it happens. What's going to happen at 9 o'clock, and then who's going to speak first, and then what's going to happen after that. When Mashiach comes, they'll give out the schedule, and then everybody can say, oh yeah, I knew that, I said it, I was right, and I was wrong. You'll find it out then, he says. He says, because the main thing is to believe that there's going to be a Mashiach. That's the main thing. Because there's so many arguments exactly on the details of it. But all of us know that there's some concept called Mashiach ben Yosef. I'm not, believe me, this is not my forte, the Messianic era. I was saying this over in one of the girls' seminaries. I guess they know more than us. One of the girls came to me, oh, but I heard Mashiach ben Yosef came in the 1800s. Okay, you know more than me already. I don't know 1800s. I don't know anything. And then somebody, another girl said, oh, yeah, they say the Gaon of Vilna was the Mashiach ben Yosef. Could be. I don't know that. I know in my Sidur says, in the Berachav Tishkon Betoch Yerushalayim, in parentheses, Kan, at this point, when it says, V'chised David Abdecha Me'era Betocha Tachin, Kan Yitpalel Al Mashiach Ben Yosef, Shelo Yehareg Al Yedeh Al Armilos Harasha. There's some guy called Armilos, and he is going to intend to kill Mashiach Ben Yosef, so we pray every day that Mashiach Ben Yosef doesn't get killed by him. Now, they didn't take that out after the 1800s. It's still in the Sidurim. So, again, I don't know what that girl was actually saying. I'm not negating it, but I just don't know. But I know there's a Mashiach ben Yosef. And then sometime after Mashiach ben Yosef, there's a Mashiach ben David, which is the ultimate Mashiach. Yaakov Abinu says, before I enter Galut, we have to first have an exit strategy. Any good businessman knows that before you go into a partnership, you have to figure out how you're going to get out of it. That's the chokhmah. Not to get to shake hands is no chokhmah. To make partners, it's easy to make partners. You have to figure out as you're shaking hands that when the fight happens, who's going to get what and how do I protect myself? We all know that when the Ben Yehuda Nasi, when he wrote the Mishnayot, he put Masechet Gittin before Masechet Kiddushin. Because you have to know how to get out before you get in. That's obvious. Anyway, so we're going to go down to Mitzrayim. We're going to go down to four Galuyot. Vayhi Bayamim Harabim. Yosef already was in Egypt. Yosef represents Mashiach ben Yosef. So he has to send Yehuda. Yehuda already is Mashiach ben David. Yehuda is the Davidic dynasty. That's Yehuda. So he brings the two Mashiachim together. That already activates a redemption. That guarantees that the two Mashiachim will eventually one day save Klal Yisrael. That's why he has to send down Yehuda. Yehuda in his name has Yudke Vavke, which represents the four Galuyot. There's also a Dalit in there, which also represents the Dalit Galuyot. So therefore he was involved in bringing Mashiach. Once already Yehuda goes down, the exit is there. Okay, now we have no choice. The necessary evil to go down to Egypt and go through the process. But we could sleep good because we know already if there was a redemption in Egypt that was prepared by Yaakov Avinu, it'll happen in the four Galuyot, because whatever happens in the Shoresh will happen in the Anaf. But he tells them, when you go down, you have to open up a yeshiva. You know why? Because the Geula is dependent on learning. There's a great Or HaHaim HaKadosh. Or HaHaim HaKadosh is in this week's parasha now, Vayhi. Ben Uchayim ben Atar writes that the Geula cannot come unless there's going to be learning. Ki Moshe hu ha-goel. He holds that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Redeemer. Ve'eno hafetz l'g'ol am shel batlanim. Moshe is not concerned to come and redeem a bunch of batlanim, a bunch of idlers, a bunch of people that don't sit and learn. So the ge'ula is dependent on learning. So therefore, it's not enough just to go through the motions. Oh Yehuda, go down to Egypt, take a photo with Yosef. So now we have the two Mashiachim there, and then we've done something. Now, it wasn't symbolic. He says, you have to go down and build the yeshiva. In some of the Sidurim, before Shachrit, it has a piece from the Tikkunim, from Tikkuni HaZohar. It's called Patach Aliyahu. Maybe you've seen it in your Sidur. It's a good idea to say the Patach Aliyahu from time to time. They say it opens up the heart for Yirat Shamayim and for all good things. So over there, in the Patach Aliyahu, it starts to talk about the 10 Sefirot. Again, another concept that's beyond, at least beyond me. But I just know it on a very rudimentary level. It says over there, Chesed d'ro'ah yimina. They talk about Chesed. So, Patach Aliyahu says, if you had to find Chesed on your body, which body part would represent Chesed? So he says, Chesed d'ro'ah yimina. It's the right hand. Okay, I accept. Maybe that's why we always do things with the right. We hold food in our hand with the right hand to make a beracha. All mitzvot we do with our right hand. There's always a precedent. Mezuzah b'yamin. I was just in Israel, somebody asked a good question. They said mezuzah b'yamin and Hanukkah b'smol. So they asked, why not put the Hanukkah also on the Yamin? There's enough room on the side of the mezuzah to put a menorah there also. As if, well, the Yamin is taken already. Now we got the mezuzah there. Okay, so put the menorah on the left. Put the menorah also on the right. I thought the right is the precedent. So Rav David Youngrice answered, we do put it on the right. The mezuzah is on the right as you enter, and the menorah is on the right as you exit. So that's also in the Inyan of Yamin. Anyway, they say Yamin is the right hand. Giburah d'ro'ah semala. Giburah, they say, is the left hand. If you ever see the tzaddikin, the Ben Ish Chai brings this down. The way they clap like this. Yamin al semol. It's as if they want to keep the judgment, the Giburah, subjugated. You see the Tzaddikim, they put their hands like this. The right over the left, always. I don't know if we have to go to the extremes, but maybe you saw the Hasidim, their shirts. See, they're bothered with us. Because you see the shirt over here? The shirt, the way we have the American shirt, the left part of the shirt is on the right. So they have reverse shirts even, that the button goes the other way. Okay. Shnei Yisrael. Yamin al Semon. That's what it says. Then it says, Teferet, which is something in the middle. They call that Teferet, which I guess is like a dilution between Chesed and Giburah. It's mixed together in a sort of a cocktail. And the Patach Aliyahu says, Teferet Gufa. That's over here. That's where it's found. Then it says, Netzach Vehod, Teren Shukin. Nesach and Hod, whatever those two concepts are the two the two legs. Netzach is the right leg and Hod is the left leg. Yesod siyumad gufa. That's the end of the body or the extremities of the body, the reproductive organ. So we went through the whole thing almost. We started from Chesed. Actually, it starts a little before Chesed, but I started from Chesed for our purposes. Then it gets to the last one, it says Malchut. Malchut Peh. Malchut is found on the mouth, that's where it's located. And then he writes like this, Torah Sheba'al Peh Karinan La. What is Peh? Not the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth. Torah Sheba'al Peh Karinan La. Which means the manifestation of Jewish Malchut is the promotion of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Whenever we're involved in Torah Sheba'al Peh, you're involved in Malchut. That's the Midah that's working here. The Jewish king would walk with a Sefer Torah attached to his arm, and his job was to explain the Torah Shebichtav through the interpretations of Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's what Jewish Malchut is. Jewish Malchut is not sovereignty or like the Queen of England, which is symbolic. Jewish Malchut is to promote the Malchut Shamayim through the teaching of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And since Mashiach will only come, as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh said, when there's the study of Talmud, Ki lo chafetz Moshe legol am shel batlanim. So Yaakov has to send down who? Yehuda. Yehuda is Malchut. And there's no better Rosh Yeshiva to open up a yeshiva letaken lo bet Talmud, where they're going to study Talmud. Because Malchut is Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh Karinan La. So not only did he set up Mashiach, but he set up the cause. Rav Chaim Sonnenfeld said, one of the more sophisticated gematriot. Usually a gematria, you have one word, you have one, equals this, and it's finished. He said like this, the Navi writes, Siyon b'mishpat t'padeh v'shaveha b'tztakah. Siyon b'mishpat t'padeh, Zion is going to be redeemed in justice. Simple interpretation is, when there's mishpat, when there's yosher, when there's honesty in business, Siyon b'mishpat t'padeh, he says, take those words, the gematria equals Talmud Yerushalmi. V'shaveha b'tztakah, and the Jews that are in captivity, galut, are going to be saved when they commit themselves to charity. V'shaveha b'tztakah is gematria Talmud Bavli. That means really the exile is dependent on the recommitment to the study of the two Talmudim. Maybe that's what Rashi was hinting to us when he said that he sent down Yehuda litaken lo bet Talmud. Bet can mean a house, and bet can also mean two. Litaken lo bet Talmud, that he should establish the two Talmuds, Talmud Yerushalmi and Talmud Bavli. Shemisham tetzeh hora'ah, because from there will come out the hora'ah to the final redemption. This excites me a lot. And it should excite you as well. Because what we have in common is that we're both engaged in the study of Talmud. This is our hobby. This is our vocation. This is our passion. I once saw somebody recently, and they asked me, Rabbi, what languages do you speak? I said, my primary language is English, and my secondary language is Aramaic. Aramaic? Aramaic. There's Jews still speaking Aramaic. This is an archaic language. Where do you learn? They don't have an ulpan for Aramaic. Berlitz doesn't have tapes for Aramaic. This is an old language. Where did you learn this language? I said, as a matter of fact, me and my friends, most of the day we converse in Aramaic. That's what we talk all day long. Because that's the language of the Talmud. The Talmud is written in that old language. Because if you want to understand Abaye and Rava and Mishtakish and Rabbi Yohanan, and if you want to understand Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva, and all the Tanaim and the Muraim, you need to speak their language. But we're involved not only in learning, but our learning is actually messianic. We're bringing the Mashiach. We're bringing the Geula. When we get up in the morning early and open up a Talmud, you have to know we're doing a service for Am Yisrael. It's a national service. They're all sleeping in bed and we're out there bringing Mashiach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to redeem us until you have the Talmudim that are going to be studied. I understand you made the Siyum tonight. This always brings us one step closer. Every time another group finishes another Masechet. Malchut, Torah Sheba'al Peh. It activates the Malchut. About 7.5 years ago, they made the last Siyum HaShas, as you all know. Maybe some of you were there. I was there as well. It was a Madison Square Garden. The garden fits about 20,000 seats. This year in August, they're going to have another Siyum. It went by in a jiffy. They're not doing it in the garden this year. They're doing it in Giant Stadium. Yitzhadikim probably never heard of that place, Giant Stadium. Meadowlands? MetLife? Oh, I can't go there. Oh, so you don't know what Giant Stadium is. I was right. Anyway, Giant Stadium fits about 80,000 seats. And the commission is confident they'll sell it out. That means in 7.5 years... Look what happened. They went from being nervous how they're going to sell 20,000 seats in the garden, and 7.5 years later, the complexion of Klal Yisrael is that it's going to be a foregone conclusion that you could sell 80,000 seats in the Giant Stadium. That should only encourage us that the Geula is near. Because when there's so much talk on learning, and especially learning the Talmudim. And today the Shi'urim in Talmud, in every language, at every level, Ba'alei Batim that we're never studying. Baruch Hashem, we had the advantage to go to yeshiva. But how many people that have never had a yeshiva education, but today with all the Talmudic aids that they have, they can also be involved in Malchut, Torah Sheba'al Peh, Karin Anna. That gives me a big chizuk. They always ask us, as religious Jews, what are you doing? What do you do all day long? I get that question all the time. What do you do? We know you're a rabbi on Shabbat, so you work for 15 minutes, you give a few speeches. But from Sunday to that speech, what do you do exactly? And then you tell them you sit in a kollel. They don't understand it. I told them, you're in retail and you're in wholesale and I'm in kollel. It's one of the industries, but they don't understand it. They can't understand it. But of course, B'nai Torah understand the value of it. It doesn't mean you're sitting all day and not sitting all day. That's not my point. The point is, it's a lifestyle that you committed where you carve out a certain amount of time a day for this limud of the Talmud. So some do it for a little longer, some do it for a little less. I came from the school that they taught me, Ehada marbe ve'ehada mam'it u'bevad sheyichaven libo l'shamayim. God doesn't count pages. God doesn't, according to a person's ability, this guy's 1 hour can be more valuable than this guy's 10 hours. So therefore, we don't know the hashbonot. But I was just in Israel by one of the great tzaddikim, Rabbi David Abu Hasera, in Nahariya. And he told me the following. One of the questions that they're going to ask us after 120, Kavata Itim La Torah, which everybody understands it to mean, did you set a time? Kavata is to set, likvawa. Yes, 6 to 7 every morning, 8 to 9 every night. I was koveya. But he said no. There's a pasuk in the Nevi'im that says, "Vekoveya kovehem nafesh." Yamaran Mitziah brings it at the end. "Vekoveya kovehem," or in Batra, "Koveya kovehem" means in that context to rob, to steal. He said, you know, when it comes to designating a time from Torah, you have to rob that hour. Because every one of our hours is accounted for. Because we're busy people. So either you have to take it away from your business, or you have to take it away from a little of your family time, or you have to take it away from some of your free time or personal time. But that hour or two that you're going to take for your Torah, it's coming from somewhere. You have to take it from one pocket and put it in another pocket. So he says, they're going to ask you, Kavataitim, were you willing to steal time away from other important things and put it into the limud? That's the sacrifice. Because we're busy. We are preoccupied. And if you're not going to steal it from something, you'll always have an excuse. Today I have to go with my wife. Tomorrow I have a business meeting, tonight I have racquetball, and you keep on pushing it off because you always have something else. The deen of kiviyut has to be, I am busy, but I'm going to steal it. They're going to have to lose out tonight. They're not going to be able to have me partake in it. You have to be koveyaitin. And it's worth it, this kiviyut. Somebody will ask you, when they ask me, I don't say kolel anymore. I say, me and my friends were involved in a tikkun to bring Mashiach. Oh, tikkun. Oh. Give me a blessing. This is the language that the people understand today. But if they come to the kolel, it doesn't look like anything of a tikkun. It has the Talmud opened, and we sit down with a cup of coffee, and we're trying to understand Rashi and Tosafot and what the Maharsha says and what the Rishonim say and try to make sense of it. Little do they know that that's the greatest tikkun to bring Mashiach. Not from me. Yaakov tells us that. And Yaakov knows exactly Torah. He's the Torah. He's the Amud Torah. So when he says, Yehuda, go down as Mashiach ben Yosef. You're not going down as Yehuda. Put on your Mashiach hat. But if you want to be the Mashiach, you need to build the yeshiva first. And the yeshiva has to be a place of Talmud, where you study Torah Shema'al Peh, Malchut, Torah Shema'al Peh, Karinana. And that's why I say to all of you tonight, Hizku ve'imsu. Torah needs Hizuk. Devre Torah Sinikha Hizuk. Whenever I read that, it's a Gemara that says that. Devre Torah Sinikha Hizuk. And I say to myself, who was writing that Gemara? This was a Gemara written by Tanaim and Amoraim. And even they were saying that sometimes even the most seasoned learners, you need chizuk from time to time. Because like everything else, you forget what you're doing. You forget the importance of it. You know when this hit me, if you forgive me for lowering the evening, I corrupted you already about Giant Stadium, so I'll corrupt you one step more. At the end of this month, they have a big game, or beginning of next month, they have a big game. They call it the Super Bowl. Everybody gets all excited about it. And I once saw footage of one of the coaches talking to his team after halftime. They're going into the third quarter, so he's giving them a talk. And they have it, they're showing what he's saying. And he's telling, you're going to win, and we're going to beat them, and we're going to get them. And I'm saying to myself, they don't know that. This is the Super Bowl. This is the whole season. Tell them a chidush. Tell them something they don't know. Your finger's going to give them all the secrets. They're going to go this way, and you go that way. No, you got to win, and you got to catch the ball, and you got to... He's saying such devarim pishutim. And the explanation is because it's all about the things that are simple. Because you need chizuk, even a team that knows that, you need to remind them. And then they have deal. I once heard Rav Shach, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, he got up and spoke in front of thousands of Bnei Torah in one of these kinusim that they made. And the old rabbi gets up, and they're holding on every word that he's going to say. You know, what is the great Rosh Hashiva going to say? And it's silence. Thousands of Bnei Torah in the room. And he comes up to the microphone, and he says, V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. And everybody's waiting. And he says it again, V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. And then he like said just a few more, you know, on that line, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. He sat down. And I learned from that speech that that's the speech. Without all the thumbs and the confusing, you know, that's the dirasha. There's nothing greater than Torah, and it's worth it to call a kinus for 10,000 people to be stuffed in a room, so you hear the Rosh Hashiva get up and tell you there's nothing more important than the study of Torah. And when everybody walks out, and they go home, and the wife says, what did Rav Shach say? Talmud Torah can go, that's all he said! But that makes an impression on the listeners. That must be a big thing he said. That's the guy telling the football team, we have to win the game. Yeah, we know it, but you have to hear it. And I tell you tonight again, if the Vrei Torah Sidika Chizuk, then this is justified, this alumni meeting that you make every... You don't have to give an excuse to make an alumni meeting. It's imperative that you make an alumni meeting. And it's imperative that we all keep a close connection to this program, to this yeshiva, to this Talmud, to this Bet Talmud that we have here. All of these groups are important. And when Mashiach comes, although today we don't get any publicity, nobody's writing in the newspapers, oh, I got a bunch of, you know, 30 guys finished Masechet Chagigah, you're not going to read about it tomorrow in the periodicals, it's not, but in the Shamayim, making a big noise. The Mashiach is aware of what's happening here. Already they told Mashiach, tie your shoes, tie another knot in your shoes. Why, something happened tonight? Yeah, Tzadikim in Brooklyn, New York, finished Masechet Chagigah. And I'm sure you started another Masechet as well. And they committed every day to steal a few hours. So, make your tie a little tighter, because you're almost about to come. The Malchut is almost about to appear. And that's why I say to you tonight, Kahal Kadosh, Hizkubi Amitz Nebavchim, maintain your diligence, maintain your stamina. Now we're coming into the long winter that's ahead of us, although it doesn't feel like it so much, but we're coming into the winter now. Generally speaking, people get a little down in the winter, and they get a little, you know, depressed. They talk about the winter depression. It's long, dark nights. And it gets dark late in the morning. You wake up in the dark and you go to sleep in the dark. Come home from work, it's dark. And it gets good. So it puts us into depression. Our greatest remedy for this depression is not a medicine, a pill, or some sort of, drug. Torah Hashem Temimah Meshivat Nafesh. The greatest recipe to restore a person's soul is Torat Hashem Temimah Meshivat Nafesh. Is there anything more pleasurable when we sit down and we finally break through a sivara, a logic, an understanding to explain a mahloket, or when we come to a conclusion in halakha, or we come to a novel understanding, or something that we never heard before? There's nothing more sedating than that. There's nothing more comforting than that. Torat Hashem Temimah Meshivat Nafesh. And that's why I say to you tonight, Rabotai, to stay the course. Stay the course as well as I stay the course, Bezat Hashem, as well. All of us together. You should be mechuzakim. You should be strengthened and encouraged. And Bezat Hashem, when Mashiach comes, when he makes the rounds, to give everybody a Hazaku Baruch, we say, well, I come from Hazaku Baruch. It's like your Shkoyach. When he's going to come along and give the Hazaku Baruchs, he'll come to the yeshiva also and say, Hazaku Baruch, you had a hand in it. You were also involved in this great mission. Shavua Tov, Omer Barach.